again itaminandasya janatana salakaya chakshus militam dena tasmai sri gurave namah sri chaitanya manavistam stapitam dena utale sayam rupa kadamayam dadati sapandanti After Krishna chastised Kaliya, Kaliya surrendered and began to offer the Nagapatnis offered their prayers. Kaliya offered his prayers, and then Krishna exiled Kaliya. You have to go. He said, "I'll do whatever you want," Kaliya said, and he said, and Krishna's response was, "You have to leave Vrindavan. You have to go to Ramanaka. You have to go back to the place from which you had come out of fear of Garuda. And no one will fear you anymore. And the waters of the Jamuna will become suitable for the cows and the other humans to enjoy." Kaliya then began to worship Krishna along with his wives. And then the final three verses of this chapter, we'll read them, and then there's some comments to read, and then we'll go on to chapter 17. Kaliya worshipped the Lord of the universe by offering him fine garments, along with necklaces, jewels, and other valuable ornaments, wonderful scents and ointments, and a large garland of lotus flowers. Having thus pleased the Lord, whose flag is marked with the emblem of Garuda, Kaliya felt satisfied. Receiving the Lord's permission to leave, Kaliya circumambulated him and offered him obeisances. Then, taking his wives, friends, and children, he went to his island in the sea. The very moment Kaliya left, the Yamuna was immediately restored to her original condition, free from poison and full of nectarian water. This happened by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was manifesting a human-like form to enjoy his pastimes. Purport. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has commented extensively on this verse to explain the word money bee. Kaliya worshipped the Lord with jewels. The Acharya has quoted from the Sri Radha Krishna Ganesh Deepika by Srila Rupa Goswami as follows. Kosto bhakyo manirena pravishyadam aurangam kaliya prayasi vrinda hastar atmopaharitaha. The Lord had made his Kastuba jewel, gem, enter the serpent's lake, and then he arranged for it to be presented to himself by the hands of Kaliya's wives. In other words, because Lord Krishna wanted to act just like an ordinary human being, he made the transcendental Kastuba gem invisible and caused it to enter within Kaliya's treasury. Then, when the appropriate moment came from Kaliya to worship the Lord with many different jewels and ornaments, the serpent's wives, unaware of the Lord's transcendental trick, presented him with the Kastuba gem, thinking it was simply one of the jewels in their possession. The Acharya has further commented that the reason Lord Krishna is described in this verse as Garuda Dwaj, he whose flag is marked by the symbol of his carrier Garuda, is that Kaliya also desired to become the Lord's carrier. Garuda and the serpents are originally related as brothers, and therefore Kaliya wanted to indicate to Lord Krishna, if you ever have to go to a distant place, you should also think of me as your personal carrier. I am the servant of your servant, and in the wink of an eye I can travel hundreds and millions of yojanas. Thus the Puranas narrate that in the course of Lord Krishna's eternal cycle of pastimes, when Kamsa orders the Lord to come to Mathura, he sometimes goes there mounted upon Kaliya. So this fact is also described in Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that Kaliya travels to Mathura, Krishna travels to Mathura riding upon Kaliya. Pretty good, huh? In the waters of the Yamuna, back and forth. In this way, Krishna enjoys. But what is he enjoying? Huh? And this is Kaliya's pleasure. So he's reciprocating with Kaliya's desire to please him. Otherwise, he has no desire to do anything. This is what motivates Krishna, to please his devotees. So we'll read the comment of Sanatana Goswami and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. We'll skip the parts that are quoted here. Sanatana Goswami says, by the adjective divya, this is from the verse, and so on, are indicated that Kaliya's offerings were of super mundane distinction, or else the idea is that Kaliya offered the best of everything that was his. Pujayitva is simply a repetition of what was previously stated, or else with the intention of taking permission to leave, he again and again offered worship of Krishna. Worshipping the Lord of the universe means that simply by worship of him, auspiciousness naturally arises everywhere, both in this world and then in the next world. Similarly, satisfying him who carries the flag of Garuda implies that even fear of Sri Garuda had been completely dispelled. And since even he, Garuda, has become fully satisfied, it is auspicious that we quickly go to Ramanaika Dweep. That's what Kaliya is thinking. Although it is automatically assumed that if Kaliya were to go, he would be going in the company of his wives and so on, still, along with his wives, as stated with reference to the special ecstatic love that these wives have for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Through association with his wives, his children, and so on, by having established their relationship with Krishna, they are all situated in the same ecstatic love. Thus, taking all of them together, Kaliya went in accordance with the order of the Supreme Lord. He means certainly, since everyone directly saw how Kaliya went from Sri Kalindi by the water path of the Ganga to that ocean. Just then, at that very moment, although her water had been full of contaminated poison, whose water? The Yamuna, Kalindi. Which had brought about all disruption in the region of that particular lake, by her regaining her original condition of being freed from poison, it is said that she attained nivashatvam. So the Kalindi got purified instantaneously as soon as Kaliya and everyone left by Krishna's mercy. And not only did the river become extremely sweet, and her water also became capable of stopping the misery of material existence. Raise your hand if you've bathed in the Yamuna. There's only one person who hasn't bathed in the Yamuna. You have bathed in the Yamuna? Yes? You have bathed in the Yamuna? Not yet. You have to bathe in the Yamuna. Otherwise it won't be unanimous.
Lakshman?
Lakshman? You told on him. You haven't bathed in...
The third time.
Huh?
The third time.
She's told on you for the third time?
Today.
Today even. Wow, just imagine what last week's been like for you. Okay, one way we can get rid of this one by... You know what you can do? Oh, now, everyone can do. Everyone can think in their minds the Yamuna River. Everyone can do that. And we can offer our obeisances by the bank of the Jamuna and touch some water to our head 3 times. And then we can, you too, bathe in that water. At least go under 3 times. And not only did the river become extremely sweet tasting, her water also became capable of stopping the misery of material existence. In other words, she manifested the Godhead of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, by the mercy of Him who possesses a human-like form, for the sake of His pastimes, the Yamuna River will achieve the good fortune of His pastimes. Or else Rupam means beauty, so that the idea is by the mercy of Krishna, who has human-like beauty, which is manifesting many pastimes. And therefore the Yamuna itself also became full of pastimes by following Him. Or else, His character is to give pleasure to the people of Braja, which indicates how He is exclusively affectionate to them. And thus the idea is that He engages them in pleasure pastimes, because in the last line of the sloka is, this happened by the mercy, how the water of the Jamuna, as soon as Kaliya left, it became free from poison and full of nectarian water. And this happened by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was manifesting a human-like form to enjoy His pastimes. So all the pastimes, there were different meanings of those pastimes. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, they did this with reverence, the worship that was done by Kaliya and his family members. According to the words of the previous sloka, O Lord, you have offered unto me, who am the most extremely sinful, the greatest extreme of mercy, since indeed throughout the material and transcendental worlds there is no one other than myself who is carrying the marks of the flag, lightning bolt, elephant goad, and so on, upon his own head. So he is considering this the greatest of mercy. Therefore, I am now yours, Kaliya was thinking. Therefore, I am now, together with my wives, touching with our hands those beautiful limbs of yours, which had been stung by the poison arising from the biting of my teeth. We are touching that, your body, with the fragrant ointment of cool sandalwood. But if such touching is appropriate only to the conjugal mood, then please just sit here for a moment in this fine chair. Thus seating the Lord, Kaliya worshipped Him to His satisfaction. And thus he achieved the satisfaction. After achieving the satisfaction of the Lord, he left that place. This is described in the 2.5 verses beginning with Divya, which are the final verses in the chapter, and that's part of the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Here's another part that is not mentioned in the purport. Giving satisfaction means also that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by placing the palm of His fearlessness bestowing hand upon the heads of Kaliya, He relieved all the pain that Kaliya was experiencing in his limbs. Krishna touched him. I think that's all. So that's the end of the chapter 17 and its comments. Chapter 16, now chapter 17. Sri Raju Uvacha. After hearing this, Maharaj Prickett said, after hearing how Krishna chastised Kaliya, Maharaj Prickett inquired, why did Kaliya leave Ramanaka Island, the abode of the serpents? And why did Garuda become so antagonistic towards him alone? Because there were so many serpents there. So Prickett Maharaj was listening very carefully and he had a question. Why is it that he left that island? Krishna just sent him back to the island, but why did he leave in the first place? And why was it that Garuda had become antagonistic to Kaliya amongst all the different snakes? Only he was antagonistic to Kaliya. So what caused that? Sanatana Goswami comments. Maharaj Prickett being comforted, satisfied in his mind upon hearing of the well-being of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because Maharaj Prickett was in tremendous anxiety when he, and Sukadeva Goswami specifically was trying to relieve his anxiety. In the beginning, he summarized the pastime in one verse, and because he was trying to avoid causing Maharaj Prickett the anxiety of hearing how Krishna was enwrapped in the coils of the snake. He whose body is so soft and delicate was being squeezed tightly by the coils of the snake. This, just hearing about that situation and hearing of the misery and lamentation of the residents of Vrindavan upon seeing that, causes a devotee who hears it grief, transcendental grief, but grief. So Sukadeva Goswami, practically speaking, didn't want to narrate the entirety of this pastime. So he said the entire pastime in the beginning of chapter 16 in one verse. And then Maharaj Prickett asked him to explain it in more detail, and therefore Sukadeva Goswami did. But having heard, so Sanatana Goswami comments, being comforted, satisfied in mind upon hearing of the well-being of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he heard how Krishna was actually was okay. And also being satisfied by his bestowing of mercy even upon Kaliya, who was so wicked. He now wanted to hear how Kaliya's fear of Garuda was dispelled within the land, the lake of the Jamuna. Whether this was simply because of his taking shelter of the Jamuna, how did he get there? Was the cause of Kaliya's fearlessness, freedom from fear for Garuda, because Kaliya was in that snake, in the lake. So, and he was fearless in there, and he had fled there out of fear of Garuda. So he wanted to know whether he lost his fear of Garuda simply because he was taking shelter of the Yamuna within the region of Vrindavan, or whether there was some other reason. And also, with the purpose of finding out what the reason was that the wicked person, such a wicked person, could take residence in such a great holy place. Or else simply out of eagerness to hear another story, another pastime of Krishna. He inquires, Maharaj Prickett inquires about what had occurred previously with the verse beginning with Naga. Naga layanam ramanakam. It is understood that many serpents were living there in Nagalaya ramanakam. Therefore, Prickett is asking, for what reason? Simply for the purpose of taking shelter of the Yamuna and Sri Vrindavan, or perhaps for some other reason. Why did Kaliya leave that Ramanaka island? But it may be questioned, it has already been indicated, out of fear of Garuda. And thus, even though all the serpents in general are automatically fearful of Garuda, what is the reason why this one serpent to be particularly fearful of him? The implied completion of the idea is, please speak like this. Please tell me about this. Hearing of the well-being of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and of the people of Vrindavan, Prickett himself is comforted. And in the midst of the speaking of this narration, he inquires to make it clear the subject matter with the verse beginning with Naga. Texts 2 and 3. Sukadeva Goswami begins his reply. To avoid being eaten by Garuda, the serpents had previously made an arrangement with Garuda whereby they would each make a monthly offering of tribute at the base of a tree. Thus, every month on schedule, Almighty Om King Prickett, each serpent would duly make his offering to that powerful carrier Vishnu as a purchase of protection so that Garuda would not disturb them. They gave him some dakshin. They gave him something every month. Now, Sanatana Goswami says that it was on the full moon day, And I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it was on the 15th day of the month. But in any case, every month the serpents would make an offering. Here's the purport over here. Srila Sridhar Swami has given an alternate explanation of this verse. Upaharanai may also be translated by those who are to be eaten, and Sarpajanai as those human beings who are dominated by or who belong to the serpent race. According to this reading, a group of human beings had fallen under the control of the serpents and were prone to being eaten by them. To avoid this, the human beings would make a monthly offering to the serpents, who in turn would offer a portion of this offering to Garuda, so that he would not eat them. This is jiva, jiva, svajivanam. Everyone is afraid of being eaten. The humans who were under the control, according to Sridhar Swami, of the snakes were afraid of being eaten by the snakes, and the snakes who were prone to eat the humans were afraid of being eaten by Garuda. The particular translation given above is based on the commentary of Srila Sanatana Goswami and the translation by Srila Prabhupada in his Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In any case, all the acharyas agree that the serpents purchase protection from Garuda. So Srila Swami, that is basically what he said. The people who were imprisoned by the serpents, they arranged an offering to be given at the base of a tree in order to prevent the serpents from causing disruption to them. And the serpents each gave a portion of what had been given to them by the humans to Suparna, Garuda, being afraid of him. And Sanatana Goswami says, the offering which was made up of forest products, fruits, roots, and so on in this Nagalaya, which was originally instituted by the serpents. So he gives a completely different explanation, that it was an offering of forest products, fruits, roots, etc., which was instituted by the serpents. He doesn't even mention that there were some humans involved in this one. O mighty arm one implies that just like by the prowess of your good self, the great emperor, even other kings who are inimical come presenting tribute. So just as kings come to other kings, subordinate kings come to the emperor bearing gifts, so similarly the serpents had gifts for Garuda to regularly offer. Pavani Pavani means that each new moon and Mahatmane unto him whose power was unlimited, which expresses the reason for their offering shares. Or else Mahatmane means to the great soul, meaning unto him who is satisfied even with his natural enemies simply by the presentation of offerings of fruit and so on. So they made their presentations to that great soul. And Vishwanath Chakravarti says, Thakur says, the offering, which is vanaspatya, meant to be given at the base of a tree by those persons in the form of serpents, who are themselves liable to be utilized as food for Garuda. Thus all the serpents each offered a portion of their own food. Parvani Parvani means on the 15th day. Next verse. So this is what happened. Although all the serpents were dutifully making offerings to Garuda, one serpent who was especially arrogant, and his name was Kaliya, the son of Kadru, would eat all these offerings before Garuda could claim them. Thus Kaliya directly defied the carrier of Lord Vishnu. Sanatana Goswami, all these, there's been short comments to these texts. Absorbed in the intoxication, this is Sridhar Swami's comment, absorbed in the intoxication of his poison and strength, he thought, I have so much poison, I have so much strength. Intoxicated by that pride, Kadreya, the son of Kadru, taking Garuda as unimportant, or else in that offering pertaining to the serpent people who were prone to be eaten by Garuda, in which offering it was enjoined that one serpent at a time was to be offered to Suparna, All the serpents would each present their portion, but Kaliah, on the other hand, would not make his presentation. Rather, he would himself eat what had been offered by others. Sanatana Goswami. Afterwards, becoming caught up in the intoxication of his poison and his strength, the son of Kadru, but which is understood another reason for his intoxication, namely, he's being the brother. He was the brother of Garuda, so he's thinking, what will Garuda do? I am his brother. So he was intoxicated by that. So he disregarded Garuda, either by lack of respect or else by seizing the offerings from his servants. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, but Kaliah, on the other hand, would not make this offering. Rather, he would himself eat whatever had been offered by others. 5. O King, the greatly powerful Garuda, who was very dear to the Supreme Lord, became angry when he heard of this. And desiring to kill Kaliah, he rushed towards the serpent with tremendous speed. Purport. Srila Sanatana Goswami explains that the word Mahavega indicates that the great speed of Garuda cannot be checked by anyone. Sanatana Goswami has a further comment here to text 5. O King, because he says in here, O King, the greatly powerful Garuda, he starts off by saying, Tatshutva Kupito Rajan, Rajan, O King. O King implies, it is well known by your good self how an emperor becomes angry at the transgression of another king who is supposed to present tribute. Or else, Rajan means he who is shining, or was by the exhibition of brilliance due to anger, or else glowing by nature, since he is Bhagawan, speaking about Garuda now, endowed with all power, and also the dear, most exalted of personal associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He came with speed to the vicinity of Kaliah, prepared to directly kill him. The reason for this is stated by the words Mahavega, meaning his speed could not be checked. As Garuda swiftly fell upon him, Kaliah, who had the weapon of poison, raised his numerous heads to counterattack. Showing his ferocious tongues and expanding his horrible eyes, Kaliah then bit Garuda with the weapons of his fangs. Purport. The Acharyas explain that Kaliah used this weapon of poison at a distance by spitting venom upon his enemy, and at a short range by biting him with his terrible fangs. Sridhar Swami comments. His weapon was his poison. He went forward in order to fight. His many hoods were raised, and his teeth were weapons, having frightful tongues, and his terrible eyes were gaping at him, wide open, staring at Kaliah, at Garuda. Sanatana Goswami says, by the word using his poison as his weapon, it is expressed how he lacked any other weapon, and also how he was extremely deadly, whose teeth, on account of their being full of poison, were weapons, whose terrible tongue, because of being full of contaminated poison, was dangerous simply if touched, and whose eyes were expanded, terrible, burning to ashes, simply by their glance. By these adjectives are indicated how he was most unconquerable, and how his intoxication based on his poison and his power were in vain, since his poison and the attacks of his teeth would be simply insignificant to Sri Garuda. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, short comment here. Using his poison as his weapon at a distance by spitting it, and using his teeth as his weapon at a short distance, he bit Krishna, of Garuda, whose tongues are fearsome, whose breathing is wild, and whose eyes were horrible. So very interesting. We saw in the last chapter how Kaliah was so powerful. And what happened? He put his power against the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, when anyone's power is placed up against that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that person's power is insignificant. Kaliya, being so powerful, yet possessed insignificant power because Krishna's power is unlimited. But not only is Krishna powerful, but also Krishna's servants are powerful. And Garuda is one of those servants. Because of his being a servant of Krishna, he is also known as Bhagawan. Because of his great power. And his great power made Kaliya's power also appear insignificant. So the angry, in text 7, the angry son of Taksha moved with overwhelming speed, Mahaviga, in repelling Kaliya's attack. And the terribly powerful carrier of Lord Madhusudan struck the son of Kadru with his left wing, which shone like gold. Sanatana Goswami comments. By the son of Taksha, the great sage Sri Kashyapa is implied. That implies the great power of Garuda. Although Kaliya is also Kashyapa's son, because of his not being a devotee of Sri Madhusudan, he does not have the same power, and thus the idea is that he is not his son. So the two were sons, but one was so far more powerful than the other. They were equal because they were sons. But because of Garuda's being a servant of Krishna, he was far, far, far more powerful. Sa expresses he who is famous on account of his possessing great strength and potency, or else on account of his being a most exalted personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And more specifically, he is Manuman. His anger has been aroused by the offense of Kaliya. Garuda, he upon who sits the killer of the demon known as Madhu. For that reason, his prowess is impossible to resist. In this way, the great qualities of Garuda are described. His complexion is beautiful, effulgent like gold. And by implying that his complexion is like gold, he's as hard as a metal, too. Or else, what is being expressed is the quality of giving fear by his golden effulgence, which is colored just like fire. So he gave fear to the serpents who were afraid of the glow of fire. So Kaliya was afraid when having to fight this great powerful carrier of Lord Vishnu. Sanatana Goswami also explains, he hit him with his left wing. Means acting neglectfully, because the left foot and the left hand are weaker than the right hand and the right foot. And similarly, the left wing is weaker than the right wing. So neglectfully, he hit him with his left wing. And by the word Kadrusutam, it has expressed their natural previous existing enmity, thus overcoming him, or else throwing him far away. Garuda struck him with his left glowing wing, or else who struck him with his wing, but he didn't kill him. The reason which is stated by the word Kadrusutam, meaning that they are brothers. So because Kadru is due to respect, or else she deserves compassion. So therefore, Garuda didn't actually kill him. Beaten by Garuda's wing, Kaliya was extremely distraught, and thus he took shelter of a lake adjoining the river Yamuna. Garuda could not enter this lake. Indeed, he could not even approach it. So we're getting a glimpse of how powerful the servants of Lord Krishna are. How powerful. And if someone arouses the anger of a servant of Lord Vishnu and takes shelter of Krishna or Krishna's place, what is going to happen to him? Does Krishna give him shelter? No. We see this, that Kaliya didn't get shelter there. He was driven out by Krishna. But Garuda did not kill Kaliya, neither did Krishna. And even when Ambarish Maharaj tried to take shelter, he offended Durvasa Muni, offended Ambarish Maharaj and tried to take shelter of Lord Vishnu, but Lord Narayan, he could not get that shelter. So, Garuda could not approach that lake within the Yamuna River. Sridhar Swami says, Garuda, it was unapproachable because of its being unfathomable. It was so deep. And also because it was impossible for Garuda to enter there. And that's the pastime that we're going to hear next in a few verses. And Garuda could not enter this lake. Kaliya was extremely distraught after being beaten by the wing of Garuda. So Sanatana Goswami says this means that he was in great pain and he was agitated, very deeply disturbed by hit, even offhandedly, by Garuda's wing. Text 9.
Tatraikada jalacharam garudo bakshamipsitam nivarita sobagirina prasaya chudito harat.
In that very lake, Garuda had once desired, so this is why he took shelter of the lake it's going to describe. In that very lake, Garuda had once desired to eat a fish, fish being after all his normal food. Although forbidden by the sage Sobari, who was meditating there within the water, Garuda took courage and, feeling hungry, he seized the fish. So Sanatana Goswami comments on this text, on text 9. Once upon a time, as the ancestor of Sri Raghunath, Sri Mandata Maharaj was ruling the earth. This is when it happened, when this incident happened. Ekada, in there, I think the word is there. Yes, Ekada. When Garuda took a fish, although Subhara Muni forbade him to do it. This happened during the reign, many, many millions of years ago, during the reign of Mandata Maharaj. Specifically, he took a fish which was ipsitam, desirable, because of its being large and because of its being full grown, or else for a long time he wanted to eat. If it is objected that the words of a sage should be respected, Subhara Muni said, don't take any fish from here. The words beginning chuditaha are spoken in reply. This is because chuditaha means he was feeling hungry. This is because nowhere is it stated in the Shastra that it is a fault for those who are suffering the pangs of hunger to eat even that which is not fit for eating. In this way, it is refuted that there was any offense on the part of Sri Garuda, but rather, on the other hand, the offense was that of the sage, Subhari, because he tried to obstruct the hungry great soul from eating his proper food. Jiva Goswami comments on the word baksham, means which was received as his food for this pastime in accordance with the nature of those in the species of birds. So he was an eagle, a bird. And therefore, there was no fault in him eating the fish. And it was desirable. For this reason, he was hungry as a pastime, in the same way the Supreme Personality of Godhead at times appears to be hungry. And Vishwanath comments, The reason for the lake being unapproachable by Garuda is stated in the verse beginning Tatra. Tatra, there, and then Ekada, once in that place. Jala Charam means the fish who move in the water. Although forbidden, do not eat them, Subhara Muni said. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. Do not eat them. There were two offenses committed by Subhari in giving an order to such a supremely exalted soul as Garuda, first offense, and in unfavorably obstructing that which Garuda wanted to do. On the part of Garuda, on the other hand, his transgressing the order of the sage and his violence against living beings did not amount to two offenses. Because, as we should understand, Garuda is much greater in spiritual potency than the sage. So again, the same point is being made. How powerful are the servants of the Lord that can do as they like, and there is no offense. Text 10.
Minam sudukitandustva dinam mina pato hate kripaya sobari praha tatratya chemamacharan.
Seeing how the unfortunate fish in that lake had become most unhappy at the death of their leader, because Garuda had taken the big fish, Subhari uttered the following curse under the impression that he was mercifully acting for the benefit of the lake's residents. Comment here, in the purport here. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that when, when our so-called compassion does not tally with the order of the Supreme Lord, it merely causes a disturbance. Because Sobhari had forbidden Garuda's coming to that lake, Kaliya moved in, and he made his headquarters there, and this spelled doom for all the lake's residents. So just see, he said, Garuda must not take that fish. I will show my compassion to the fish. And therefore, because Garuda did not come there, Kaliya came and he poisoned the lake. And not only did all the fish die because of Kaliya's poison, but all the trees also died on the banks of the river. So one cannot make one's own plan to do good for others. I remember I saw that one time I was in a greatly compassionate mood when we were staying on Drummond Street, and there was a big moth stuck on a window, and he was flapping and flapping and flapping, and he couldn't get out to the outside. And compassionate Burijan, his heart melting, seeing the plight of the poor moth, he pushed him over gently to the side, careful not to harm his paper-thin wings, delicate paper-thin wings, and gently allowed him to flap and fly to his freedom. And the moment as he was going upward, enjoying his freedom, immediately in the air, a bird came and ate him. So one cannot make his own plan to help others, in fact. Comment by Sanatana Goswami. Another great offense committed by that sage is described in the two verses beginning Minan. That means 10, and then also it'll be 11. Because he said in 10... he said, seeing how the unfortunate fish in that lake have become most unhappy at the death of their leader, Subhari uttered the following curse under the impression that he was mercifully acting for the benefit of the lake's residents. He said, if Garuda ever enters this lake and eats fish here, he will immediately lose his life. And then what I am saying is the truth. He put the power of his words, Vaksiddhi, what he says by the potency of his words must come true. wretched. He said, and the wretched is referring to the word dinan. Minan su dukitam dvisva dinam mina pato hate. These wretched wretched fish he took. So wretched is stated because of their being, by the very nature of their form of a fish, incapable of doing anything. Subari saw them completely distressed when the lord of the fish, meaning the best of the fish, or else the protector of all the fish, was taken away by Garuda. Or their distress was because of constant fear of Sri Garuda. In any case, it is indicated the attachment Subari had for the fish. But, this is interesting, he did not act out of affection on account of their living within the Kalindi River in Vrindavan. So this would have been completely different if he was protecting them in the mood, they have taken shelter of Vrindavan, of the Yamuna River in Vrindavan and Krishna's holy place. Therefore, they are special fish, not ordinary fish, and therefore they deserve protection. But that wasn't his mood at all. Everything, in fact, depends on one's consciousness. So this connection with Vrindavan Dham, with this place, the fish connected with the river and the river connected with Vrindavan, it was absent from Subari Muni's consciousness, and that was a fault. And there was no devotion in that. There was mundane compassion. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. The third offense, Garuda, on the part of Subari, is stated by the verse beginning Minan. From the word out of compassion, we can deduce how he felt compassion for the fish. And similarly, he felt anger towards Garuda. His trying to do good for those who are living there indicates how even the compassion of a great offender has contrary result. Since by the consequence coming of his curse of Garuda not being able to come, was Kaliya was there, and the result was just the opposite benefit for all the fish, because all the fish were killed by Kaliya's poison, and even the trees on the bank of the Yamuna were killed. Text 11. We'll just read 11 and 12. I've read 11 already. If Garuda ever again enters this lake and eats the fish here, he will immediately lose his life. And what I am saying is the truth. Purport. The Acharyas explain in this regard that because of Subari Muni's material attachment and affection for a fish, he failed to see the situation from the spiritual viewpoint. The ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes his fall down for this offense. Because of his false pride, Subari Muni lost his power of austerity, and with it, his spiritual beauty and happiness. And he was a Brahmavadi, he describes, one of the Acharyas will describe, impersonalist. And he fell down from the Brahman platform where he was enjoying the happiness of Brahmananda. And he married many, many beautiful princesses and became lost in material enjoyment. When Garuda came to the Yamuna, Subari Muni thought, although he may be a personal associate of the Supreme Lord, I will still curse him and even kill him if he disobeys my order. Such an offensive attitude against an exalted Vaishnava will certainly destroy one's auspicious position in life. As the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam describes, Subari Muni married many beautiful women and suffered greatly in their association. But because he had once become glorious by taking shelter of the Yamuna River in Sri Vrindavan, he was ultimately delivered. So his consciousness wasn't on the glory of Vrindavan, but yet still he had taken shelter there, even though it was agyata. Without knowledge, still there was so much benefit that ultimately came to him. So how powerful is Krishna's abode of Sri Vrindavan Dham? Sanatana Goswami says, entering into this lake, that neglecter of my words, even though he may be a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word aham, because he says, satyam etad bravim yaham, I am speaking this. So this, Sanatana Goswami, this word is used, aham, out of his false pride and the strength of his austerities and so on. And by this very offense against the transcendental Vaishnava was reaped the fruit of great misfortune of the ruination of all his accumulated austerities as described in the ninth canto. Furthermore, even though he was thinking with the idea of benefiting those who were living there, just the opposite occurred. By Kaliya's taking up residence at the Yamuna, there resulted in the death not only of the creatures living in the water, but also of the trees and so on living on the shore of that Tirtha, as well as the birds and other living entities who are traveling above it. It was only by the glory of taking shelter of the Yamuna in Vrindavan, by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that very quickly this offense gave it immediate result, by which Sobari engaged in sense gratification, which for those who are discriminating is equal to hell, and by which suffering that fruit was subsequently overcome. In other words, only by the mercy of the Lord did he overcome the fruit of his offense. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Subari's saying, his curse was, if he enters this lake and eats the fish, then immediately he will be deprived of his life. And if he does not eat the fish, this will not happen immediately, but after some delay. So he's saying, if he comes and eats the fish, he'll quickly die. And if he even comes to this lake, even if he doesn't eat fish, because the fish will be in anxiety, then he will die, but after some time. Thus, simply by entering the lake, the curse has its effect, but the curse becomes extreme with the eating of the fish. Garuda, by his omniscience, he knew everything. He was aware of the curse spoken by the words beginning Atra, and he did not go there. Whereas Kaliya, knowing about the curse from the mouth of a serpent living there, who was a close friend, went to that place. But that contaminated desire from Subari, rising out of his attachment for fish, was, and who was angry at Garuda, within which that contaminated desire manifested feeling of compassion, actually gave the result of an offense by which he lost his spiritual ecstasy, Brahmananda, and of the course of the youthfulness, his youthfulness, which had been created by his long accumulated austerities. He brought a horde of beautiful women, submerging within that happiness of sense gratification, which is just like hell. He enjoyed his offense. And in the end, by the glory of having taken shelter of the Jamuna in Sri Vrindavan, he later was delivered. This story is given in the ninth canto. So, it's like people will say, if in my next life I become a dog, what will be the problem? I won't know that I was a human before, and then I'll enjoy the dog delights. So that type of a curse is the greatest of curses, considering what the soul is actually capable of. How contracted and minimized his happiness and his consciousness has to become to enjoy on that level. So looking about from the dog's point of view, he's very happy. But looking about it from the from someone with intelligence's point of view, the dog is suffering so much. You can see this in Vrindavan. Oh, how much the dogs suffer. Sometimes you see them, they go out, even the ones who have some home, they go out, and then they come back the next morning, and then they're all bloody and they've been cut because they're looking to enjoy sex life. And they go out and they get bitten and fighting with each other, and they come back so wounded. And they're thinking this is enjoyment because of the nature of the body that they have. But compared to what Subhari Muni was previously experiencing, his Brahmananda, his spiritual ecstasy, his material happiness was like hell. And compared to Krishna consciousness, compared to Bhava Bhakti specifically, Moksha Laguda Krit, it minimizes even the liberation. So if one takes the happiness of liberation and multiplies it by 1,000, 1,000,000-fold, it does not equal even one drop of the happiness of Bhava Bhakti. And Bhava Bhakti is like an ocean, drop of that ocean. And then the final verse we'll read tonight. Of all the serpents, Kaliya only came to know of this affair, and in fear of Garuda, he took up residence in the Jamuna Lake. Later, Lord Krishna drove him out. So that's the end of this description of how, an answer of Maharaj Pricker's question, how did he, Kaliya, come to reside at the Yamuna, and also why was Garuda specifically angry at him? There are two short comments here, one by Sanatana Goswami, one by Jiva Goswami. Sanatana Goswami says, Kaliya knew about the above mentioned affair, and thus, because of his enmity against Sri Garuda, out of fear of him, he took up residence in that lake, because of having searched out everywhere for a fearless place, or else because of the special good fortune accumulated in hundreds of past lives, lifetimes, he was able to take shelter in the lake within the Yamuna. He was driven out by Krishna, that is to say, by him who creates ecstasy for all. And Jiva Goswami says, Kaliya knew, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that he knew because of being told by one of his serpent friends, and Srila Jiva Goswami says he knew, is understood, he knew through Narada Muni, because Narada Muni likes to create pastimes in this way. So Narada Muni said to him, according to Jiva Goswami, why don't you go to the Yamuna? Because you know that Garuda can't go there because he's been cursed by Subhari Muni, so you have nothing to fear if you go there. So tomorrow, if Krishna allows, we shall complete this chapter by discussing what happened when Kaliya left. And then Krishna, one of the acharyas described earlier that there was an island in the middle of the lake where the Nagapatnis bowed down and they offered their prayers to Krishna. And then Kaliya worshipped, and the Nagapatnis offered worship to Krishna there. And then finally Kaliya left, and then Krishna came back to the land, and that's what we'll hear tomorrow. Covered, wearing divine garlands, fragrances and garments, covered with many fine jewels and decorated with gold. So just imagine what the Brijbasis were experiencing. They were in complete anxiety that Krishna was going to give up his life, that he was going to die being crushed by the serpent. And then, as in all other circumstances, Krishna comes out victorious, covered in opulence and ecstatic. And because they love Krishna so much, their ecstasy to see Krishna in this way, covered with garlands, garments, jewels and gold, including his kastuba money. They're feeling so much relief and ecstasy. So we'll hear about that tomorrow. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.